Let's turn to 24 and the grace of glory this morning. We'll start there. 2:4. Rejoice, the Lord is risen indeed, in heaven's beloved one. Death could not hold in prison's greed the Father's only Son. He rose and went on high. He justify all who believe his word. Hail to the Lord's anointed one, bearer of sin and shame, the heir of all appointed now, revealer of God's name. Life has been freely given, lo, in the grave he lay. The bands of death are quickly riven, the stone is rolled away. He rose and went on high. Not heard he rose to justify all who believe his word. He went with hands uplifted high, those mansions to prepare, but he will come all gifted soon and with his people share. He rose and went on high, he rose. Have you not heard he rose to justify all who believe his word? And many sons to glory then, as captain he shall bring. For in his tomb we're seeing now that death has lost its sting. He rose and went on high, he rose. Have you not heard he rose to justify all who believe his word? Sing it again. He rose and went on high, he rose. Have you not heard he rose to justify all who believe his word? Let's turn to 8. We're going to praise his name some more. Praise the Lord. There's a fountain flowing for the healing of the soul. praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I have plunged beneath him now, his blood has made me whole. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing ye all with one accord. Sing aloud and praise his name. Sing his glory, tell the story of his wondrous love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us spread abroad his fame. There's a stable setting where the hungry soul may eat. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the Lord will fill thee with the finest of the wheat. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing all with one accord, sing aloud and praise his name. Sing his glory, tell the story of his wondrous love to men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us spread abroad his fame. By his strong right hand, Jehovah lifted up the weak. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And with full salvation he will beautify the meek. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One accord, sing aloud and praise his name. Sing his glory, tell the story of his wondrous love to men. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us spread abroad his fame. Let us serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Blessed is the people that know the heavenly joys. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing ye all with one accord. city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Amen. He is great. Thank you, Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the flock of all ages, Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Thy King cometh.
Amen. Amen.
Old English, thine cometh. He's going to come. Can you imagine what it was like on that day when he rode into Jerusalem? Riding on the donkey. They were waving the palm leaves, and they were so excited. We're going to talk about that today. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew 21. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we bow down before you. We worship and adore you. You are the mighty King. Oh, glory to God. You are going to reign, Lord Jesus, over this entire system, world, and all, dear Lord. In the very near future, we're expecting you to return. And Lord, we just believe you today. You are going to bless this scripture to our hearts and encourage our hearts, Father, we pray. Just meet our needs and give us exactly what we have need of in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The 21st chapter is the scripture that records Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem on the donkey. But we're going to go back to verse 29 of chapter 20. So let's go back to chapter 20, verse 29. Now this is what was happening before he came into the city of Jerusalem. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Son of David is a very, very, very great title. It really is. How did these men know that Jesus was the son of David? He was of the lineage of David, as we said, through his mother Mary and through Joseph, his stepfather, both. And most people in that world at that time did not understand that. They did not know that Jesus was actually the promised Messiah. He was going to be the king of all the world one of these days. They didn't recognize that. But here are these two blind men. They're blind in the natural, but they have some insight spiritually. They see that he is the son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." He's looking at two blind people and he's saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He wanted them to say that they needed their eyes open. And we need our eyes open today. We're like a bunch of blind people sometimes. We're not looking at the things that are happening in the world and realizing we're in the last days. The Lord Jesus is going to come at any time. And so what did he do? In verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So they were some of them that were walking along with Jesus going into Jerusalem, as we read in chapter 21. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, that's how it's pronounced, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, 'The Lord hath need of them,' and straightway he will send them." And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." What effect did it have for the blind men to say, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us"? The whole group of people that were with Jesus coming into Jerusalem recognized he was the son of David, that he was the one who would be Messiah. And when they asked the multitude that are gathered there in Jerusalem, they said, "Oh, he's a prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. That's who he is." See, some people had their eyes open when this was happening. Some people had their eyes open to know that it was Messiah that was coming in. That's why they rejoiced and said the things they did. And it was a fulfillment of Scripture, of course. And so that verse, we're going to go back in Zechariah in a moment and look at that verse that was quoted there. But that verse was verse 5 of this chapter. It's actually Zechariah 9:9. We'll turn there in a moment. That was prophesied 487 years before this time. 487 years. And not only that prophecy, many, many others. Hundreds of prophecies about the coming of the Lord. He would be born of a virgin. All the things. And his character. Notice what his character is. He is just. That verse says, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh thee, meek and sitting upon an ass. In the Old Testament, it says he is just, and we'll read that in a moment. That means he was righteous, that he was lawful, that he was walking with God. He was God in man, wasn't he? He was fulfilling all the scripture as he walked and there on, rode on that donkey. Having salvation. In the Old Testament, the rest of it says he had salvation. Yes, he did. If they would have received him right then, he would have been Messiah to them. They would have been born again. They would have had their kingdom right then. God was testing Israel. And of course, the majority of them just says, well, he's a prophet from Nazareth. This happens all the time. People are always setting up themselves and other people coming along. Well, it doesn't record anywhere that anything just like this happened before. This was on the Sunday just before Jesus was crucified, the next, very next week when Passover started. And so he was fulfilling the scripture. And notice back there it says, well, in this place, sitting upon an ass. He was meek, it says, sitting upon an ass. And back there in that other scripture, it says he was lowly. And that word means humble and poor. That's what Jesus was. He didn't come here and say, well, I'm the Son of God, so I've got to have a big castle to live in, and we're going to have all this gold here. And, you know, he didn't say that. He was a humble, humble man, born in a manger with a fed cattle. Grew up poor. He said, many have places to stay. The foxes have holes to stay. The birds have nests to be in. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Just living outside, living outside. What a Lord he was. Humble and came before the people and showed that he was God. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Hallelujah. A great multitude was there. Now, a great multitude came with him into the city. Maybe that was the great multitude there in the city. It might have been all those believers that were following him out there. I don't know. But here he came in into Jerusalem, and there were people that didn't even know who he was. They called him the Son of David. They said, Hosanna unto the Son of David, which the word Hosanna means save now. It speaks to us of an explanation of adoration. And it also can be translated, please save. Please save. These people were crying out, please save. We adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. And then the crowd says, well, who is this guy anyway? Oh, he's just a prophet from Nazareth. Nazareth was considered to be kind of a bad part of the country. They didn't realize he was born in Bethlehem because he was of the seed of David. Exactly, prophesied. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Riding on an ass. This might seem kind of weird to us. Why didn't he ride on a white horse? One of these days he is going to ride on a white horse. Do you know where that's recorded? The 19th chapter of Revelation. When he comes back to judge this earth, it says he's going to ride on a white horse. He's a conqueror. In this place, he's showing humbleness, being humble. But the truth is, King David and King Solomon and all the prophets rode on donkeys. The kings of the Old Testament rode on donkeys. Even in doing that, they were saying, here is the king. He's riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. In 2 Samuel 16:2, it says, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride. That was a decree they had. It showed who they were. They rode in on the donkey. And they said, he was saying, I am Messiah. Now turn to Psalm 118 with me. Psalm 118. And we're going to read some more prophecies here. No doubt this is King David speaking. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin reading with verse 21 of Psalm 118. He says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The cornerstone in a building is very important, in a big building especially, made out of a lot of brick and those kind of things. They have a cornerstone that they go by, and that's who Jesus is. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the one who is the mighty one that everything is built for, and everything is built according to the cornerstone. He was rejected by the builders, rejected by Israel. They had their opportunity. They could have been greatly blessed if they would have accepted him when he rode in on that donkey that day. Instead, they plotted to kill him. And some of the same people that were there that day saying, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord, later were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Isn't that disgusting? That's disgusting. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's what the people around Jesus that day were. They were rejoicing and glad. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now, do you realize that the words save now is Hosanna? The Hebrew is Hosanna. So right here in this psalm, they were saying, Hosanna, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity or blessing. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Yes. I hope we're a blessing to the Lord this morning, praising him and worshiping him. He deserves every bit of our praise. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with the cords, even to the horns of the altar. What's that all about? Well, Jesus Christ goes in there and they're all yelling and hollering, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And then next week, they're wanting to bind him to the altar and sacrifice him as being crucified on the cross. They didn't realize that he would be the sacrifice for our sin. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we know the Lord this morning and we can say to him, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for us, for bearing our sin. Oh, how we praise him. What a blessing it is to know him. Hallelujah. He came in riding on that humble beast. Little donkeys have kind of a place in the scripture, you know. Another place in the Old Testament, a donkey was talking. God made the little donkey talk. It does show a humbleness, doesn't it? So the majority of that great crowd that day didn't even realize and know who Jesus was. They were just kind of going along with the group. Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, they say. Jesus has God-given authority as he enters the temple. Right immediately after this, he goes into the temple and drives out the money changers. And as I was reading and studying, I found a little truth, a little thing that I didn't realize. Where the Jews set up their money changing and all these animals and all of that was in the courts of the Gentiles. And that meant that there was no room for the Gentiles. See, God made provision that in the outer court there would be a place for Gentile people to come in and worship God. But the Jews filled it up with all their stuff that they could sell and make money. And it was a big business, wasn't it? But God wasn't pleased with that. So, okay, he's king, and he's going to set things right. He goes immediately over there to the temple, and he cast out those money changers. And he said there that you have made my father's house a den of thieves. Of course, it provoked the Jews. In verse 15 there of our chapter we're reading, it says the Jews were angry and plotting to crucify him. They were angry that he took that authority. In John 1:9, it says there that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And that was true from the very beginning. Those people who were humble and would receive Christ, they were the ones that the Lord blessed. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Zechariah. You know, one of the scriptures that we've already had is in the book of Zechariah. And we're going to read that. It's in chapter 9, verse 9. It was quoted there in our text in Matthew. Chapter 9, verse 9, Zechariah is at the end of the Old Testament, in case you need to know. Pretty near the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah was quite a prophet and has spoke so many times prophecies of Messiah. And in this place, in chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." We might wonder why it says, like the mother and then the baby. There have been people that have speculated on that the colt is for the bride of Christ. And it wasn't mature or full grown by then. I don't know. It sounds like a good thing, but I'm not sure about that. But anyway, that's the case. And it was prophesied here 487 BC, 487 years before Christ was on the earth. This prophecy said that the king would come to them and he would be riding on a lowly, with lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt of an ass. I want to just look at a few more scriptures. Let's look at Zechariah, the 11th chapter. In verse 10 of 11th chapter, it says, "I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant which I had made with all the people." This word beauty means union, and it speaks of the staff of a shepherd, that the Lord was displeased with Israel, so he was going to break the staff. And then in verse 11, "It was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord." So there was a poor of the flock that was following Jesus at the time that he died. And notice what verse 12 says. "And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." 30 pieces of silver. And then notice verse 13. "The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a good price, that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver, and I cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then cut asunder, I asunder, mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." Anyway, prophesied that there would be a time when there would be these 30 pieces of silver used, and also that they would be cast to the potter. Now, what happened in the time of Jesus' death? Judas took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them down on the ground. The priest took them up and bought a potter's field, a place to bury poor people that didn't have any place to be buried, couldn't afford it. So here is mentioned about the potters. Cast it to the potters and the potter in the house of the Lord. Now, it could mean a potter of a vessel, but but we believe that it's a prophecy that was fulfilled. All right, let's look in 13, chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. What is that? That was through Jesus Christ. He's the fountain open before God. His life being poured out, his blood being poured out, redeemed all of us to Christ, paid the price for us to be born again. Hallelujah. The fountain open, the provision for everyone to come and know Christ and drink of the water of life. Jesus said, if you drink of the water of life freely, come unto me that you may drink freely. Praise the Lord. All right, another one in the sixth chapter, verse 12. Now, in the Old Testament, several places, we have this title, and it's capital B, capital R, capital A, capital N, capital C, capital H. What does that mean? The branch. Think of the branch, the living branch of a tree. Jesus Christ is spoken of in prophecy as the branch that will come forth. That's why it's all in capital letters, because it's a name for our Messiah, for the Messiah of Israel and our Savior. He says, speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. See, it's speaking of Jesus. He is the priest on his throne. He's not yet on his place he'll have as he rules and reigns during the millennium, but he's sitting by his Father on the throne, and he is the interceder, the intercessor for all of us. Praise the Lord. He is the priest, the high priest that we come to. All of these are prophecies in this book of Zechariah. And this word branch is also mentioned in chapter 3, verse 8. I think I'm going to, let's go back there, we have time. Zechariah 3, verse 8. Now, here it mentions Joshua, the high priest. Now, there was a Joshua at this time who was high priest. But did you know that Jesus' name is Joshua? Jehoshua is his name. And so Jesus means Savior, and so does Joshua. And notice what it says here, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sat before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. And it goes on there. I shall remove the iniquity of that land in one day, the Lord says in the latter part of that verse. So the servant, my servant, the branch. If you make a little study of that word, B-R-A-N-C-H, you'll find that he's called the servant, he's called the oxen, all of the things that the four Gospels show, the man who is the branch. See, Matthew shows him as the king that's going to reign, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark shows him as the beloved servant. Luke shows him as the man. He's the only one that shows him being born in the manger. And then we're going to look at one more, chapter 13, 6. This is a precious one. It says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He will always bear those scars. After he rose from the grave, the disciples plunged, one of them wanted to see the scars because he couldn't believe unless he saw them. And Jesus said, feel here in my side. Look at my hands and my feet. He will always bear those scars of redemption for us. Isn't he a wonderful Lord? He is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. And in chapter 14, 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. The Lord is going to be king over all the earth. And then in verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, Jesus suffered. He had terrible suffering for us. But oh, he is exalted. He is exalted. Praise the Lord. He is exalted. And he's going to be exalted greater during that millennium time when he will reign on the throne of his father David and reign over this earth as well as in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. In Psalm 72:8, it says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river, and he's speaking about Euphrates, and to the end of the earth. The whole place of the earth he's going to reign. His name shall endure forever, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. So be it, Lord. Fill the whole earth with your glory, Lord. He was a humble man. He rode on a donkey. And the people were shouting and praising. And just a few days later, they crucified him. But he rose. Like we said, risen and ascended, he rose from that. And he is alive forevermore, the scripture says. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. How precious God's word. God's word. It all fits together, you know. Thus, Old Testament is fulfilled in the New. And you can read back and see where the prophet said so-and-so. And it happened. Shows the truth of it. You know, if a prophet told a lie or what he said didn't come true, you know what they did to him in those days? They stoned him to death. So it behooved a prophet to be right, say the right things, or he's going to get in trouble, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. We want to tell the truth also. We want to be truthful to the Lord and to the saints. Okay, we're going to sing a song. If you have a need, we'll feel free to come. We'll be glad to pray for you.
Let's stand, turn to 118 in the Grace of Glory, 118. After the silence of ages, after the waiting of years, he cometh the answer to sages, the vision foretold by the seers. Quickly as lightning that flashes, brighter than sun in its beams, he cometh, the mighty Jehovah, but not as the dreamers of dreams. He cometh, he cometh. Is true. then shall the world feel the power of the great King in array. For long has it waited, Messiah, its ransom from sin soon to pay. Earth shall be filled with his knowledge, as waters cover the sea. And then for one glorious millennium, all men shall be happy and free. He cometh, he cometh, battalions with him in review. He cometh, he cometh, he cometh to make all things new. Riches and honor and glory saints will enjoy with him then. The climax of hope's radiant story, proclaimed in past ages to men. Death swallowed up in glad victory, life everlasting will reign. The earth and the heavens conjointly will sing one melodious strain. He cometh.